Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. America's mothers are in crisis. That's the title of a fascinating article in the New York Times about how they're faring in the midst of the pandemic. According to this article, not very well. This article cites a Kaiser Family Foundation study that says nearly 70% of mothers say pandemic worry and stress have damaged their mental health. We're digging a little deeper into this issue tonight. My guests are Dr. Amber Thornton, clinical psychologist and motherhood wellness consultant, Charlotte Avery. She is a wife and mother of seven. And Sherelle Jones Whitfield. She is a mother of four children. Sherelle is also what is called a long hauler recovering from COVID-19. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Ladies, thank you so much for joining this really important conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Let me start with you, Dr. Thornton. What are your thoughts about what you've seen over the past year or so in your practice with mothers and how they're dealing with the stresses of the pandemic?
Yeah, so first, thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
And I would say what I've seen over the last almost year now has really been it's been terrifying. I'm definitely not surprised, because I think what has happened is that for a very long time, there has been an imbalance in terms of what mothers are handling or taking on in terms of work, their motherhood, wellness, but also things in the home. And then when the pandemic hit, it's like it really just showed a really bright spotlight on all of that, and it made everything else even more intense. And so it is really troubling. I think it is now very clear that it's something that really needs to be solved and really needs to be talked about more and really needs to be fixed. And in my work with mothers, a lot of them have told me that they've had some of the similar issues prior to the pandemic, and the pandemic was really the thing that really broke the camel's back and let them know that this is not sustainable any longer. And they're really desperate to get some help and some answers, but also to get out of this pandemic.
Why is it more stressful for mothers?
Mm-hmm. So I would say that it's more stressful for mothers because there is an expectation for mothers to really perform very highly, especially within their families. What we know is with mothers, especially Black women and women of color, many of us work outside of the home. Or even if we're working from home, we're still working, and we've had to do that for centuries. But then also, there has always been a larger proportion of the responsibility for mothers to do things like care for children, take care of the home. That has not necessarily been an expectation as much for the men in our lives. And so that is why. It's because there's a very heavy expectation because of society, because of culture, how we were raised, that really places a lot of heavy burden on mothers to really perform at home and outside of the home.
Sherelle, you have had a particularly difficult time because, as I said in the beginning, you are recovering from COVID, what is often called a long hauler, but you have four children that you are responsible for between 8 and 18. What was last year like for you?
It was tough. It was extremely challenging. We were thrust into a situation. It was from one extreme to the next. You know, I went from, you know, being this parent that showed up and did everything and, you know, provided everything to not being able to barely parent at all. And so, you know, it was a struggle for both the kids and I, you know, but we were able to get through it. We were able to get through it.
Mm-hmm. You
were still coming through.
You're an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
And you were hit hard by the pandemic. It impacted your business and how you were trying to manage your children. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so as a result of being infected with COVID, I had to close the physical doors of my business. And, you know, that was hard. I'm a single mother of four children, as you said. And, you know, it changed our whole world. You know, not only being infected with COVID, not only was that a challenge, but, you know, having to then try to manage the household and provide for them, you know, that became a challenge too. But, you know, with the grace of God, you know, he's always with us, and he was with us then. We had support of loved ones, family members, friends, church members. Everyone showed up, Harold. Everyone showed up. So much so that we didn't have to want for anything, you know. All of life's daily responsibilities were taken care of. It was just such a blessing. And that was one of the ways, you know, we were able to get through this with support.
How is your mental
health? Holding on to those relationships.
How is your mental health through all of this? It had to be a challenge for you to just kind of keep your head above water emotionally.
It absolutely was a challenge. It was a challenge. And I must say, you know, even as, you know, a faithful woman of God, it was still very challenging, you know, through prayer and, you know, support of church family and, you know, my faith, it got me through. But I must honestly tell you that there were moments, you know, when I was starting to feel darkened. And during that time, I knew that there was a shift. There was a shift in how I was feeling. There was a shift in my perspective. There was a shift in the hope that I had, and whether or not things would go back to a normal place, which is what I was looking forward to. And so at that point, I knew that I had to get further help. I needed professional help to help to keep my mental health balanced and in check.
Did it work? Has it helped?
Oh, yes, it has. It has helped. But not only has it helped, because it gave me an opportunity to communicate my feelings. I felt so misunderstood because no one could identify with what I was experiencing. No one could identify with my symptoms. They couldn't identify with the illness that COVID caused me to have. And then there were these expectations that people had of me. You know, it was almost like, well, you've had it. It's been months now. You should be well. You should be healthy. You should be back to normal. And that's a valid expectation, because I also had that same expectation. But it hurt. It was hard to not be able to meet those expectations that not only that other people had, but my children had, and even that I had for myself. And so that was the hard part. So going to get professional help gave me the opportunity to release my feelings, talk to someone who was not judgmental, who didn't have a whole lot of unfounded advice, who listened and could really understand. Mm-hmm. It was such a blessing for me and also for my children.
Amazing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about mothers' mental health and the pandemic. How are they doing? We're going to be taking calls in a bit, but I want to talk about expectations. Charlotte Avery, she's been on this program many times before. She's a wife. She's a mother of seven. And Charlotte, how are you doing? It's been almost a year since the pandemic started. You've been doing you've always done some teaching of your children at home, but now they're all at home. So how are things going for you? How's your headspace?
Today, and thank you for asking, by the way, and thank you for having me again on the show, Harold. Today, I'm in a good headspace. I can be honest and say that every day is not like that, though. Not every day is a great day in these motherhood streets, you know. I mean, it's real, and it's a lot going on. I'm thankful that, you know, I can say that today is a good day. I can say that, you know what, things fell, you know, in place and, you know, the structure happened and we stuck to our schedule and we did the things that we needed to do. And everybody was happy and they were safe and everything. And we didn't have a whole bunch of going back and forth. And I wasn't feeling like I wasn't doing a good job today. Today I can like tap myself on the shoulder and say, you know what, Charlotte, you did a good job today. You know, everybody's alive and well. So amen, hallelujah to the Lamb. But today is a good day. But like I said, every day hasn't been a great day. We've had some challenges. It's different when you go from homeschooling, two kids to then homeschooling seven. And, you know, my kids are in every school level. You know, I have three in elementary school, two in middle school, and two in high school. So when you're talking about different schedules, you're talking about different, you know, seasons of life. I mean, I have, you know, three and a half teenagers now, you know. I mean, it's a lot going on. And for me, this time has been difficult for me because I am an extrovert. So for me to not be able to be out and about and release energy and get energy, you know, from people, it's been a lot for me because I'm not an introvert. I'm not somebody who is, you know, who likes to be in the house all the time and things of that nature. That's just not even how I'm built. Like I like being around people and giving energy to people and all of that. And so it's been difficult.
I have so much to talk to you all about, but I want to get to the phone calls real quick. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about mother's mental health and the pandemic. Jerry calling from Virginia. Quickly, Jerry, what's on your mind?
Yes, I don't think anyone talks enough about domestic violence and the pandemic, because that heavily affects, you know, both men and women, but especially women. You know, if you're in a toxic relationship and you're used to being able to escape to work or that person going to work, but now you're stuck in the house 24/7 practically with that person. Maybe there are kids involved that, you know, have to be forced to be subjected to that. And then also feeding them, just that additional stress that this pandemic has brought on, that, you know, no one talks about that enough. I'm fortunate to have a super mom, my son's mom, even though we are not together. But, you know, she's doing an awesome job. She works for the government, but not everyone has a family dynamic such as myself, mm-hmm. you know, where they're not constantly on the fire. But, again, I want to bring light to it because I think it's important that, you know, domestic violence is a huge thing in the world, especially in this country.
Well, Jerry, let me see what Dr. Thornton has to say about that. And thank you for bringing up that important point. Dr. Thornton, your thoughts about what Jerry was just sharing with us.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I do think that there is many subsets of women and mothers who might be having an additional struggle right now because of the pandemic. And absolutely those who are experiencing domestic violence, that is definitely one of those groups. Because exactly what Jerry said, at this time, they might not have access to the supports that they had before. If they were working, it's possible that they might have lost their job or they don't have those same connections, maybe if they're working from home at this point. And so it really does create even more isolation for those women, which is it's never a good thing for anyone who is being abused at all. I definitely would encourage anyone who is being abused to please reach out to certain abuse hotlines, or if there are family members that can support, even if it's calling or texting them. I still advocate for, if you're able and ready to remove yourself, get out of that relationship, that's always the right thing to do. But absolutely, there are some women who now feel more isolated and more trapped because of the pandemic.
Well said. Before we lose Sherelle, I wanted to ask, first of all, Sherelle, how is your head now? How are you emotionally now? And what advice would you offer to mothers who are dealing with these most severe challenges right now?
Well, right now I'm in a much better place, thank God. You know, I've been able to, as I mentioned earlier, just to rely on support. You know, I sought professional help. I relied on my faith. And I also, I think it's really important for us to set a priority and kind of adjust your perspective. That's what helped for me. I had to adjust my perspective and what I expected from myself and my children. And I had to be okay with the changes that were made in our life. I think that was the most difficult part for me, was not accepting that our lives had shifted so drastically. But then I had to sit back and say, you know what? This has been done, and it's okay. It was through no fault of our own, nothing that we've done. And so now we just have to kind of move through these changes, adjust to these changes, and be okay with it. I think sometimes we as mothers are really too hard on ourselves. We have these standards and these expectations and these guidelines that our children are supposed to fit in this box. But this is a difficult time right now.
Yes.
And so we have to adjust what we expect from them according to what we're going through right now. So that means I had to let some things go.
Yeah.
I had to realize, okay, their life, their health is much more important to me than whether or not they make the honor roll.
Well, there you go. Sherelle Jones-Whitfield, thank you so much. And we certainly wish you the best health as you continue to recover from COVID-19. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to hear from those mothers who are dealing with some emotional stuff right now during the pandemic. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about mothers' mental health and the pandemic. My guests are Dr. Amber Thornton, clinical psychologist and motherhood wellness consultant. Also, Charlotte Avery, wife and mother of seven. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I wanted to go back to Charlotte because you do not have a normal family situation for a modern Black family. We always say that. I mean, you have seven children, but also you have a very supportive husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that puts you, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, and I'd like to hear what Dr. Thornton has to say about this as well, but that puts you in a rather unique position, even in the midst of this horrible pandemic, where you do have a supportive partner who is there for you to help you take up the slack when your headspace gets a little cloudy and you're not feeling your best.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, you've met my husband, and he's
my frat brother. I mean, you know, let's just put it out there. He's a good guy.
Yes.
Right, so.
And, you know, my husband is just, he's absolutely amazing. I mean, he's that dad that shows up for his kids. He's that husband that shows up for his wife. I mean, he does a really, really great job of, you know, taking care of all of us, and we do a great job of taking care of each other. And so for that, I am very, very thankful. I can say that, you know, the fact that so early on when the pandemic happened, you know, we had a lot of stressful things happen all at one time that we just never anticipated, you know, as far as him not working for 3 months, you know, knowing that he's a husband and a provider and, you know, he is the sole breadwinner of our household, and to know that, you know, for 3 months or so, he wasn't working. So we had to really, you know, like hunker down and say, okay, what are the necessities? What are the things that are not necessary? And even for myself, I mean, you're talking about his level of support for me, but I had to really, you know, extend support to him and just where he was in his mind space, because there are a lot of things that men don't share with their wives as far as their own fears and their own concerns. And my husband is like that. Like, he really tries to shelter me and shelter the kids from, like, things that are kind of going on. And so when all that happened, like, I knew. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know. He didn't have to say where he was in his headspace. I knew where he was. Because I know the type of man that I'm married to. And even in that, like, while supporting my kids and what they were going through as far as work, I mean, as far as school and, you know, not being able to do activities, you know, also being able to lend support to him and where he was. And then, you know, we ended up having a major health challenge, you know, that happened during the pandemic too, that just really kind of shut things down. And it caused us, especially me, to be in a very fearful place. And I hadn't been in that place. I can't even tell you the last time I had been in that place. But, you know, I will be honest and say that, you know, having him, you know, here at home, you know, to lend support, you know, for me and the kids and help with homework, because, you know, I don't do math and science. So, you know, for him to be able to pitch in with school, you know, and all of that was really, really great. But even still, when it came to a lot of the expectations of parenting and motherhood and all of that, you know, I still felt that I carried that burden and that load, so much so that I could see myself kind of going into a place. I don't want to call it the place of ugly, but I could see myself going there, because I always felt like I was being stretched and stretched and overstretched. And I'm only 4'11", so I don't know how much more stretched I can get, right? But I'm just like, oh, my gosh, like, when is it going to give? When are we going to get a break? When are we going to, you know, when am I going to get a break? I mean, I looked at myself one day, and I saw my level of exhaustion. Like, my level of exhaustion that I saw in my face matched what I felt in my body, and that was not good. And even then, also, to have children who are very in tune to who I am as a person, you know, for my children to say, mommy, you know, you're not having a good day today, you know, mommy, you need to go take a time out. And the thing is that I really had to be very conscientious of my children and what they were saying to me about me, knowing that, you know what, I need to go somewhere and really take a time out, or go sit in my car, or, you know, go get an ice cream sundae and eat some french fries without anybody asking me for anything, so that I could get myself together.
Well, let's ask Dr. Thornton about that very thing, because Dr. Thornton, not all mothers are fortunate enough to have empathic children like that, and mm-hmm. and even at least outwardly so, but children are very, very much in tune, and mm-hmm. and for women mothers like Sherelle, for example, when they're, despite kind of the outside of support, you know, they still really feel very much alone if they don't have a partner. How do they address those issues?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I agree. A lot of our children, especially if they're older, are very perceptive. And so they know when mommy's not having a good day, or, you know, when we're tired. And so I feel like, you know, what I tell my moms in my program is that we have to really do our best to take care of ourselves, because our kids know when we're not taken care of, when we are not having a good day, when we're feeling run down. They know, and we try to hide it from them, but there's no hiding it from them. But what I would say is that it's so important to build community in motherhood.
Yes.
And that is one of the values that I really have in terms of the work that I do with moms and the things that I teach mothers, is that, you know, I'm so glad to hear that you have a very supportive partner. And also making sure that you have community of other mothers who you can go to when you need to talk, mothers who understand. And this is also really, really important for those of us who don't have supportive partners. A strong solidified community of other mothers who get you, who know you, who can support you even from afar, that really can make a world of difference. And so, you know, that might look like reaching out to your mom friend and letting her know how you feel, or both of you agreeing to a weekly phone chat or a Zoom chat or whatever. Or even if it's just, I know for me personally, I have one child and I have another on the way, and I have this text message chat with about 10 other moms who we are always in there talking together and chatting about all the things that we're going through. And even though we can't see each other, or a lot of these women I've never met in person, having their support has meant so much to me. And knowing that they're just a text message away is really, really meaningful to me. And so building a community of other mothers to support you, but then also for you to support them, really can make a difference.
What is the most common complaint, Dr. Thornton, when you're counseling mothers with mental health issues that have only come up since the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. There's so many complaints. There's so many, but I would say the most common one is that, I'm going to give you two. I would say that two of the most common complaints is that they feel so overwhelmed by everything that they have to do. They're just completely overwhelmed, and because of that, that leads them to feel a lot of guilt and shame about how they're doing as moms. But then the next complaint is that they feel extremely lonely and isolated, because many of us just don't have, again, that community and motherhood to really open up and share the tough times. You know, I think many people look at mothers, and I hear people say this a lot, and I always push against it, as super moms, or, you know, we're super women. And that terminology, it leads people to believe that we don't need help or we don't need support. And while it's noble, you know, it's sometimes it's nice for people to say, oh yeah, she's so super at this, she's great, but we're not super moms, we're human. And that's what we need to be seen as. And so those complaints of just being completely overwhelmed, burnt out, afraid to talk about it because they think that means that there's something wrong with them, but then also being completely isolated and feeling alone because they're afraid to speak about the challenges that they're having.
Charlotte, you mentioned, you know, French fry Fridays, ice cream Sunday. But are you concerned? Well, first of all, does that help?
Absolutely. Yes, it does. It does. It really helps me to be able to sometimes just get in my car and leave and get something that is solely for me, that I'm not having to say, somebody's not saying to me, well, mommy, can I have a French fry? Or mommy, can I have a little bit of the hot fudge on your Sunday? No, you may not, because you're not even going to know about it, because I'm sitting in my car down the street and around the corner in my happy place. Mm-hmm. So yes, it does. It helps. It mm-hmm. helps a lot. It really, really does. And one thing that Dr. Thornton said that I really, really agree with is, and it's something that I even tell my own clients, is that it's not just important for you to have a support system. It's important for you to have a support system that is reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need each other. Mothers need each other. And, you know, when people say to me, well, Charlotte, you know, I feel so guilty, or like she was saying, you know, the shame, I feel so guilty, you know, complaining about my struggle in motherhood because I look at you and you have 7 kids and blah, blah, blah. And I shut that conversation down really quick. And I say here, I'm like, listen, motherhood is hard no matter how many children you have. I just happen to have 7.
You happen to have 7.
Yes, I just happen to have 7. So don't think that my motherhood struggle is anything, you know, to, you know, don't compare. I tell people all the time, sail your own ship. You know, don't compare what motherhood looks like for somebody else to what it is for you. You've got to steer your ship. And because we're all swimming in these same waters right now in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, you've got to steer your ship for your family the way God's calling you to do that.
Mm.
Period. Mm-hmm. Period. The end. And so sometimes we get caught up because, you know, we get on the social media life and things like that. And people might see that, you know, because, you know, we do Funnel Cake Friday here in our house or whatever. People are like, oh, you're doing Funnel Cake Friday. Oh, you're doing this. Oh, you're doing that. But guess what? They don't know the meltdown that I had, you know, on Tuesday before Funnel Cake Friday got here. You know what I'm saying? And so it's easy to look at somebody else's household and think that everything is well, but all things are not. Listen, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Anybody that says that all things are well right now, they are lying.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Whether you're a mother, a parent, single, whatever, even if you've kept your job and your finances are together, the fact that things are not normal.
No.
Is still a really difficult thing. And what about you, Dr. Thornton? You said you have one child, you have another on the way. Mm-hmm. Is it difficult to sail your own ship when you are, if I may, looking at everybody else's ship based on your profession? You are dealing with other people's problems. That has to present some emotional challenges for you.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I get that question a lot. And what I say to that is, you know, one, luckily, as a trained mental health professional, I've been trained to really learn how to handle and manage responses and reactions that I might have when I'm working with someone. But then also the thing that I do love about the work that I do and the program that I've developed is called Balanced Working Mama. We have a framework that helps mothers to better balance work, motherhood, and wellness. And the thing about that is that I'm so passionate about it, I first tried it with myself. And so everything that I teach, everything that I share, our framework is something that I'm living myself. Mm-hmm. And so that means that I cannot help anyone if I'm not doing these same things for me. And so it would get very difficult if I wasn't also really making sure that I'm aggressively taking care of myself. And I pride myself on being very adamant about my wellness and how I show up in motherhood. And I set really firm boundaries with people, and I communicate with people about what my needs are, and I know my limits, and I make sure my expectations are very realistic. And that's what I encourage other mothers to do, especially in the pandemic. And so that allows me to continue to sail my ship, but then also to help other mothers do the same with theirs.
So here's a question about that. This program that you have developed, did you develop it mm-hmm. BC, before COVID, or since?
It's, you know what, it's so funny. I developed it before COVID. And it's because, you know, like I said before, I realized that moms, especially working mothers, there has always been this imbalance in terms of what is expected and what is required. And it's heavy. And it has led many women, especially millennial women, to believe that they don't want to become mothers because mm-hmm. of the things that they've seen. It's sometimes hard for us to think of women and mothers who have been moms but also taken care of themselves or been moms and also pursued entrepreneurship or been moms and also felt really good about their health. It's hard to have those examples. And so I noticed that, and I developed this program and this work prior to the pandemic, and then a month later the pandemic hit. And so I think it's been useful pre and during the pandemic, because this has always been an issue, but the pandemic has just intensified what we're experiencing.
So how did it change after the pandemic? What did you have to add, take away from this program? And give me an example of what was most helpful for mm-hmm. for women who were dealing with these mental and emotional health struggles.
Mm-hmm. So I would say the one thing that did change, because to be honest, not much changed. Because it's, again, if we're looking at the foundation of what's going on, this has been an issue for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So not much has changed. But the one thing that I did make a change to is that these women need more community now, more than ever. because with the pandemic, it's caused us to be very isolated. For instance, our kids went to school and we might have had contact with the kids' parents and teachers and play dates and opportunities to see other moms. We don't have that anymore. And so that required me to shift my services a bit. Before the pandemic, my services were more one-on-one. Now, all the work I do is group. All the work I do is in workshops. We're all together because I know that building that community is such a healing part of this process. And so that probably is the one thing that has changed in the work, is that the work that we're doing, it needs to happen in community with other mothers.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte, outside of funnel cake, French fries, and Sundays, how have you learned to fix any of the mental, emotional health stresses that you may have had?
Well, let me just say therapy is good. And so I hired, I'd start seeing a therapist like many, many years ago. But as we got into this whole pandemic thing and, you know, things seemed to start tail spinning and, you know, as if it was going to be a never ending cycle, I was like, you know what? I need to talk to somebody that's not my husband and my kids. I need to talk to somebody that will help me to, you know, that I can really be kind of naked and unashamed, that will let me like just kind of get it all out so that I can, you know, get off the phone and then be a better me for the people in my household. Because the reality of it is that moms are the thermostat of our families. And mm-hmm. if we're not okay, then nobody's going to be okay. And that is a real reality. And the other thing that I had to do is I had to really give myself grace. I had to practice what I preach and teach to my own clients. I had to give myself grace. I had to give myself permission to say, you know what? I put this strategy and this structure in place because that's what I do as the family strategist, right? So I do it for my own house. And, you know, I put these things in place. I thought that they were going to work, but today everything has just, you know, gone to pretty much hell in the handbasket, and I have to deal with that. And it's okay if structure kind of just falls apart because tomorrow is another day. And I had to, you know, put everything in perspective. And outside of other people's expectations of me, I had to manage my own expectations of myself. Because the reality of it is that society gives us all these outward expectations. But then as women and as girls or what have you, you know, we have our own expectations of how, you know, of how we view ourselves as being these good and excellent moms. And then what happens is that if we don't measure up, not even to what other people's expectations are, but to our own expectations of ourselves, then it can really take us into a place where we feel like we are inadequate and we are not sufficient for the people that God has gifted us to mother and to be wives to and to teach and to build and grow. And so for me, I had to, one, I got a therapist, and I love my therapist. I see her twice a month, hallelujah. And and then I had to really give myself grace. I had to do the things that I tell my own people to do. Get a support system, one that is reciprocal, not one that's just taking from you, but is give and take on both sides. I had to practice self-care. I take an hour, at least 1 hour a week, to do something for myself that has nothing to do with my husband or my children. I had to do that.
Dr. Thornton, would you recommend, particularly now, and certainly we've been in the pandemic a year, but would you recommend that mothers, particularly single mothers, depending on the age of their children, sit down with their children and say, you know, I have one of those, they say, come to Jesus conversations with your children, that, you know, the world has changed, and so I need your help. I need you to perhaps grow up a little bit faster. I ask this mm-hmm. because I remember when my parents separated, my mother had that conversation with my sister and me. Mm-hmm. And it was We had to lower our volume. We had to do more cleaning. We had to make sure that we were more responsible. Yes, it did force us to grow up a little bit faster. I don't regret it, but I would argue that not all children have the capacity to do that.
So again, that's a really great question. And my initial answer is yes. It is absolutely appropriate to have that type of conversation with your child, because realistically, you do need the help. And many of our children are capable of taking on a little bit more responsibility than maybe they have had before. But the caveat is that, one, we need to make sure that any expectations or responsibilities that we're hoping for them to take on is age appropriate.
Right.
But then also we have to continue to balance the fact that they are still children. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we don't want them to be doing chores all evening after homework and then go to bed. They still need to have playtime. You know, they still need to have downtime. And so also age appropriateness. So, for instance, I have a 20-month-old. And so right now, I'm definitely teaching him how to help around the house. And it's not the same thing as what a 10-year-old would do. But he's 20 months, and so he's not even two. But he can help me unload the dishwasher, and he helps me water the plants. And it helps to teach him responsibility, but then also it helps to set this expectation that mommy is not the only one that's responsible for our home. We all are responsible for our homes. And so, again, it's a balance in that we want to teach our children responsibility. That'll help take the burden off of us, but we also want to allow them to still be children. And so I absolutely encourage any mom, especially single moms, but really any mom who needs some help. If your children are ready and you know how to give them some responsibility that is age appropriate, please do it. It's good for them and it's good for you too.
20 months, I'd like to see that.
I agree. I just wanted to say, I agree with that. I mean, and you don't have to be a single mother. I mean, because I'm not a single parent. But I believe in, I mean, first of all, our jobs as mothers is to work ourselves out of a job, not to, you know, be doing all these things for our children, you know, when they're teenagers and adults and things like that. And so I definitely agree with doing age-appropriate chores. Everybody in our house does chores, from my 7-year-old to my 17-year-old. Everybody does.
Absolutely.
And it is important, and it gives them ownership. It gives them responsibility. You know, especially when, you know, kids are talking about, I want an allowance and stuff like that. Okay, you get an allowance for things that are not your reasonable service. You know what I'm saying? Like things that you're supposed to do. And so I definitely agree with that, because we are not super women. We're moms, and, you know, in my house, teamwork definitely makes the dream work. And that's whether you're a single parent or not. My mom was a single parent, and, you know, she raised myself, my brother, and she raised a group of foster kids. And, you know, we got it done together. And during this time in the pandemic, you know, everybody should be having a come to Jesus conversation that's age appropriate with their kids, because there are just some things that we just can't do anymore, you know. And it doesn't mean it'll be like that forever, but even for us, you know, before the pandemic, our children were in all kinds of activities and everything. And then when the pandemic came, we were like, okay, is it more important for you to go to karate, or is it more important for you to have a roof over your head?
Yeah, that makes sense. A final question for you, Dr. Thornton, and this is particularly important because there are a lot of expectant mothers like yourself out there who have become pregnant during the pandemic, and that is a very stressful time to carry a child. What do you recommend to expectant mothers to keep the stress of this time from transferring to the child that they are carrying?
Oh, wow. Yes, that is also a great question. And before I get to that, I do want to tell you, if you want to see my son helping me unload the dishwasher, you can definitely see it on my Instagram at Dr. Amber Thornton. I have videos and pictures of him helping me, and it's so cute. For anyone who wants to see that.
Is he helping you, or are you helping him? That's the question.
Probably a little bit of both. A little bit of both. We still have some work to do. But in terms of your question, I definitely would say that it's so important for expecting mothers to really now is the time to have the courage to ask for the help that you need. Because now is not the time to try to prove anything to anyone. Now is not the time to try to pretend like you don't need the support. You do need the support even more now, because when you're carrying a child, it's such a sacred time. It's such a personal time, and we need a lot more help. And even for myself, little things that I used to be able to do, it's harder now. I'm in my third trimester. I'm expecting a child in 10 weeks, and I have to be very vocal with my husband and people around me about what my boundaries are, where my limits are. I have to give myself more grace, just like I think the other caller was saying, we need to give ourselves grace, but also just be very clear with people about what we need, because that will definitely decrease the stress. But also just, you know, all the safety precautions that the CDC recommends in terms of COVID safety, do it all. Try to minimize your exposure to people. Now they're saying that double masking is the best way to go. So make sure that you're always double masked. That will help to decrease some of your stress too, because you know that you're taking all the safety precautions. But then also be clear with other people who are going to be in contact with you about those precautions, because you want to protect yourself and your baby.
Well, okay? I think that's a great place to end this conversation. Dr. Amber Thornton, congratulations and good health to you and the baby. I'm so glad to hear that it's coming. It's coming. Charlotte, always great to talk to you. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for having me, as always. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
And I also want to thank Sherelle Jones-Whitfield, and we wish her the best of health as she improves after battling COVID. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, February 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.